Mini Babybel Light. Perfect for when you want to satisfy your cravings without compromising on taste. High in protein and 47% less fat than Mini Babybel Original, Mini Babybel Light is the ultimate snack to add to your new routine in 2023. Start your new year the right way with Mini Babybel Light.
I still feel like if I looked back on that history and just acted like it wasn't there, I completely forego all of the scary but also beautiful life experiences that have led me to this point. And I mean this in the kindest way possible. Like, I would never want to be a cis person, not in like a mean way, but in like a, my gender may not be who everything that I am, but the experiences that have created my gender are everything that I am. And I wouldn't be the same person if I didn't have that lived experience. And so to just say that, yes, I am a woman. I will always be a woman, but I am also a trans woman. So I think I'm the best of both worlds.
You really are.
And I don't need to pick or choose. And I don't want to pick or choose because I want to respect myself in the way I feel now, but also the person that got me to this moment. Yay.
Starting.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Ben. Ben's laughing at us. He dropped his head and laughed. I know, we're ridiculous.
We got our little Benny Boo Boo in the studio.
By the time this hits your ears, Benny Boo Boo will be 26.
25.
Oh my God. Wait, why did I say 26? Oh, because it's Tay Burke's birthday this weekend, same day as you, and I was going to tell you that. Anyway, doesn't matter. Point is, it's Benny Boo Boo's B-Day coming up, so if you missed it and you didn't already wish him a happy birthday, go do it, okay?
I bet he's listening to us call him Benny Boo Boo and cringe. It was kind of just like an inside joke for a bit.
No, I love it. It's okay. Cute.
I also call him Bennifer because I don't know. Yeah. He's like my little Bennifer, Jennifer. You know what I mean? Duo. I don't know.
And I've called, maybe because I called you Sidifer.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, but that's
when did I start calling you Sidifer? It's so weird.
A long time ago. It's been a long time.
I feel like I give people nicknames.
You do.
Like Mark,
but I like that.
Like my friend Mark, first met him, immediately Marky Mark. Like so weird. I put like Y's in like little like pet names. I need to stop.
Well, but Angela's like Angela Pangela. Ariana's Ariana. I say it like annoyingly Ariana. Fast. Taylor, my sister, is Bobby Brown. Like I have like weird names for everybody.
Same.
Yeah.
One of my toxic traits too is also calling everyone babe. So I'm like, oh my God, babe. Or like they'll come to my class and it's such a habit that straight men will be in my class. They're leaving. I'm like, bye, babe. And I literally like said that the other day and I look at the front desk staff and I go, oh my God, I just called him babe.
That's good though.
Like I can't be doing that.
It's spice.
Yeah, but it's like, it's.
Pat, I just want to tell you that your girlfriend is like literally cheating on you.
Anyway, no, it's all good over here. I can keep my mouth shut for you.
No, but like I can't be calling like, good looking straight man, babe. Like, we got to move on.
Okay,
from
fair.
That.
Jordan would literally be like,
habit. Yeah.
What? He'd be so appalled, I think. And he's not appalled by anything. Just like, in front of him. If it happened in front of him, if he found out, he'd be like, oh, I'm over it.
Also, when I started dating, I was like, there's no way I call people babe, like my significant other babe. And I did it. I remember like the first month we started dating, every fucking word out of my mouth, babe, babe, babe. Like, I don't call him by his first name at home.
Do you not?
No, I call him babe.
I'm a mix though. I feel like I'm like, hey, Jordan. Like if I'm really bugged by him, I'm like, Jordan, can you go come pick up your crap?
No, if I want something, I go, Pat.
So like I get
change
what you
your
mean.
Tone.
Yeah.
Or I'll be like, Jordan, I need something from you.
That's exactly
that's what I do.
Pat, will you rub my shoulders?
You are Jordan and I am Pat. It's scary.
And he goes,
it's scary.
He goes, yeah. And then he goes like this. I'm like, no, get in there. Like Benny Boo Boo does it when he gives me a back
straight
massage.
Up. Can I just say one thing? I grace this man's back with these wonderful little claws. And then I'm like, can you scratch my back? And it literally feels like little nubs are rubbing my back. I'm like, this is not fair. Like, this does not feel fair to me. Just saying. God.
I wish I could help
you. Oh, jeez. Poor Pat hasn't experienced a good back scratch.
You want to know what's fucked up? Is he doesn't like his back touched, scratched.
Oh,
he won't let me pop the back pimples, won't let me do anything to his back, and I want to be touched on the back. So he doesn't, like the way I receive, like I understand what it feels like to get that done, and that's why if he knew how good it felt, he would do it to me more.
That's so odd to me, I feel right? like, because he's it like, feels so good.
He's so ticklish.
Oh, okay, it's the tickly thing. Okay, fair enough. You guys, we have a really good episode today. I always say that when we have every episode, so we're at 95, and every single one is a really good episode today. Okay. but we have Nikita coming on. I'm not going to give any intro other than that. She's an amazing, sexy, wonderful, smart woman. And I don't know what else to say about her because I'm going to let her do that. You know what I mean?
We'll let her do that. Well, I mean, I do think if you are listening, like, yes, Nikita is, we mentioned this in our story, she is a trans icon and she's going to share so much about questions that we've all had, her experience, her life, and kind of where she's at now because she has an amazing story and I'm so excited to hear more. But first,
in the midst of dating and all the things. But first, straight, I thought you were going to come with me.
Straight candid moments with Sid and Soph.
Hey. I was like, I'm coming and she's not coming with. Here we
are. She's not coming with. Here we go.
Come on back.
All right. Reel it back in.
Also, we had such good sushi last night. Ooh.
Ooh.
It was so good for Bennifer's birthday. Yeah. Straight candid moments. Do you want to go first or do you want me to? I ask every time.
I'll just pick. I'll go.
Okay.
Okay. So straight candid moment this week. I was trying to stay upbeat fun this week, so I was trying to think back a little bit. This happened maybe a couple weeks ago, but it came to top of mind as I was riding the elevator on the way up to the studio today. So, you know the trend where a significant other or a girlfriend like flashes her boobies when her boyfriend or partner or significant other is on a Zoom call? In fact, me and Ben did this to you when you were on your Zoom call and we were at your house like a month ago. And do you remember doing this?
Oh, yes. I was like, wait, I thought you meant you flashed, flashed on the Zoom call. And I was like, I do not remember that.
So you flashed.
That's why I was like, yeah, I remember that. No, but you flashed me when I was on a Zoom call. Yes. Yes.
So that trend. So I was like, I'm going to do this to Pat. Like, I just think it'd be so funny when I do it to Pat. Like, I just know he'd have a funny reaction. So I take like a long time, like hiding my camera, like setting all this up. I'm like, this is going to be the best video ever because I'm just so hot. He won't be able to not react. So I'm like in front of him.
This cocky motherfucker.
And I start flashing myself, lifting it up. And he looks at me, looks right back down. No expression. And I walked away with my head down between my legs and nothing came of it. But it was just so, it
was, he was trying to play it cool.
He did nothing.
What are you supposed to do? Laugh at and then be like, sorry, my cat was being weird behind the camera. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what do you say?
I was expecting him to fall over in his chair and he just stared straight at me, looked right back down and my feelings were hurt.
Did you talk about it after?
No.
You didn't?
No. No, you guys, I'm kind of kidding, obviously.
I know, but like, I know.
But I don't know. I just wanted to share that because it's funny that he did. He did nothing. And I think you're going to give a health update. Sorry, I'm moving
no,
right
no,
on.
No, no, I like it. Okay, right on.
When I get uncomfortable, I just keep moving. So my health update, because Sid's going to also have a health update. I went off my birth control, baby. Updates to come. Nervous about the acne situation, but we are just going to stay positive and keep trucking forward because I've heard that it will help with my anxiety. And I've mentioned that a few times in previous episodes, but I'm hoping to get some sort of doctor on eventually to speak about maybe coming off the pill, the benefits of it. I'm not going to share my exact reasons because everyone has their own reasons to be on it. Maybe eventually I will, but for now, just stay tuned in the journey, Sidifer. She's literally just texting. Oh,
sorry,
yes.
I was texting Nikita just to let her know what our timing was. Hold on.
Straight in a moment, baby.
Excuse me. Sorry. My health update, which is like the first and foremost thing I want to say, is that I got my results back from my growth in my neck that I was so horribly uncomfortable about. And it is benign, which means that it is non-cancerous, if you know what that means. I am so relieved. I feel way better. Obviously, it's still not ideal that I have a growth on my thyroid, but you know what? Like, the fact that I was proactive in figuring it out and didn't live another year in anxiety is like pretty special. So I'll take it. I'll take it as a win. Okay, two minor things. This first one is a question. I want to explain the situation, then I want you to tell me if I answered it correctly or and if it was uncomfortable. I'm coming home from Arizona. I'm walking through TSA. I'm just wearing like a little crop hoodie and some leggings. I don't really like to wear leggings at the airport. I don't know why. I just feel like it's like, I don't know why. You're passing by a bunch of people and your butt's out. I don't know. Is that weird of me to even think about? No. I think it was because that one woman's like got in trouble for wearing leggings one time. So I think it's like subconsciously in my head. It was like a Delta flight, I'm pretty sure. I have no idea. Get over it, people. I'm weird. And they ride up in the front anyway, so on. So I'm walking through TSA and this guy like leans into my ear, a TSA worker with a mask on. And I thought he was like telling, he's like, oh, and he goes, your body's impeccable. And I go, oh, thank you. And then I walk through and then I go, wait, what the fuck? And I was like, wait, that was, so I should say.
That's disgusting.
Was that one, was that a weird situation? Two, did I react correctly? That's kind of fucking weird, I feel like. And I reacted like in like a timid woman way, like of like, oh, thank you. And then I walked through and I was like.
And you kind of wish you would have said something
different. Yes, because it's totally inappropriate. Okay. And he stared at my ass as I walked by and I knew it was just so weird.
So that's the thing. I feel like it was the way he asked it. Like the fact that he kind of leaned in and made it secretive and like kind of sexual.
It was
like
sexual.
The way he was looking at you. Yes, I think I would have, like, in the moment, I probably would have said the same thing. But I think now, looking back, you're probably like, I wish I would have been like, thanks, but that's none of your business. And can you maybe keep your eyes like, you.
Because he was looking at my body. That means like the entire time. And then when I walked through, that's why I don't wear leggings. Like, that's why I think when I was younger, I dressed like a boy. Like, I also thought it was cool, but I was worried to show my body. Not that I have like this whatever, but it's just
your
like
body,
know,
your body's immaculate.
No, but it just, we have our own insecurities and like, you don't want to draw attention. I don't know. All I got to say is like nothing wrong with like, oh, you're so beautiful.
Did you tell
like,
Jordan?
Yeah. And he goes, you're actually joking. That's not true. He like couldn't believe it because I was telling him and my other guy friend that was standing there. They're like, he did not say that. Did he actually say that? I'm like, I'm not lying. Why would I lie? Like what?
I wish.
And he was like, what the hell?
I'm imagining Jordan going back through security.
I know.
Straight back in. What'd you say to my girlfriend? God, oh, that would have been hot. You guys should role play.
Don't
that.
You want someone to fight for you?
Yeah.
Babe, you don't fight for me.
Kyle. Let his boss know that he said that, he'd be out. Because
I think probably too. Anyway, it was just weird. It was just, and then I'm like, why am I even saying this story? Because I'm like, oh, your body was, your body's so cool. I feel bad for myself. It's like, no, it was just creepy.
It's creepy. That's and creepy. It's an experience that us as females go through often, and it's not okay.
And it makes me not want to wear the clothes I want to wear. And it felt very like you're in my bubble, and that made me very uncomfortable.
And weird, I also think,
I don't know.
It's hard to look at it like it made you feel uncomfortable, which is not fair and not okay. Yeah. But it also try to look at it like I'm empowered because like that was your like next time, you know, that's your chance to speak up and like say something back. Yeah. And like maybe, I don't know. It's like it's also empowering because now you kind of, when he says that, like you have the power in that moment to either kind of ruin his life or... You don't have to ruin his life, but I don't know where I'm going.
But like,
with
at least
this.
Call him out and be like,
"I'm afraid I'm gonna get canceled when I talk about
stop.
This shit."
No, you're allowed to. You know like, what I mean? I know what you're saying though. Like, show him a little fucking who's boss, bitch. Yeah. Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah. Mm. Let's get mad.
Okay. Last and final. I promise I'll keep this extremely short. I kind of told you guys this, but I just have to tell you the one extended awkward moment that I had. We were in Arizona. We went to In-N-Out. Yes, we had an edible. It's very legal there. It was supposed to be only 5 milligrams. It did not feel like that. I'm high out of my mind at the parking lot of In-N-Out. All of a sudden, where my friend looks at me and she's wheezing like uncontrollably. She's like, and I start laughing because you're like, what are you laughing at? I'm like, and then you're like, oh my God, I'm high. I'm so worried. Like, why am I laughing? And she's like, why do they make them wear those hats? That's just not, that's not fair.
Why do they wear those hats?
I'm like literally tearing up. Full on bawling. The guy comes up and we're trying to hold it together and I order it and then they repeat it so fast. You're like, oh God, my brain.
You go, nice hat. But
I should have. But
speaking of edibles.
Okay. Wait, this is, very short. All I was going to say was he's standing at the window. He repeated it way too fast, walks to the back window to take my other friend's order. And we were like trying to play it cool. We're like, we're not laughing. It's all good. And Soulja Boy crank that comes on like so. In the car, you boom, boom, boom. And we're just like, oh my God, I can't. Like I don't know why. The whole thing was so hilarious. We couldn't pull it together. We could barely get our order out. Anyway, all I got to say is, God, I'm not a pothead in any way, but take an edible once in a while and dang it. Like, if you're of age and it's legal in your state, because 5 milligrams is, it was kind of fun. It reminded me to let loose a little bit. It was kind of a good reminder. I'm not telling you to actually do that, just so we are clear.
Well,
anyway, speaking of edibles, what are you gonna say?
I like how you wrap that up because what I was going to mention is y'all know I'm obsessed with Andrew Huberman's podcast.
Yes. He love him, by the way. You got me hooked.
Yeah. He just came out with one about weed and cannabis and CBD. And don't listen to the alcohol one if you want to drink again,
by the way.
Because it makes you not want to have alcohol. So anyways, but the cannabis one I was so nervous for because like you, I do enjoy a little CBD, a little D9, a little D8 here and there. And and he talks about pros and cons of it. And yeah, it was interesting to see like how it actually influences your creativity and like shuts off certain parts of your brain to mm-hmm. make you maybe let loose a little bit. And it was good. So listen, if you're more interested in that topic,
it's good to know about what you're putting in your body, I think too.
Yeah,
like it's exactly. just like, it's good to inform yourself. Mm-hmm. I was going to say something about that, but now I'm like totally going to break. Oh, but by the way, shout out to, why am I blanking on the company that just gave us all those amazing THCs?
North Fusion. I think that's the name.
Yeah, it is.
I think their Instagram is at Drink North. I posted on our story, but I brought a little drink that had THC in it camping, and I slept so well.
you literally like, yeah, I just kind of like passed out, knocked out, woke up the next day like 12 hours later. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well rested.
They do have THC drinks and CBD drinks. Also, if you're Minneapolis based, apparently Surly Brewing is now coming out with THC drinks too. They were DMing us, right?
Oh, they did. Yeah. They said, oh yeah. Okay,
cool.
Good. That's actually a good reminder right there. Anywho, enough of that. We're going to bring in Nikita and we're going to get her on here and you guys are going to learn all the things. She's an amazing individual. So we can't wait for you to meet her.
Yay.
Finally,
we made it. 20 we're minutes here. Later.
It took a little bit of time. It took a little bit of love, but we freaking made it. Now we're on the pod and Nikita is here with us and I'm so freaking excited. Did you notice how I literally just jumped in? Because we're like, let's go, honey.
Let's go. I also just have to pause because we're Zooming with Nikita and she raises her hands. She gives a little like snap, snap, and she's wearing gloves. Tell us about these silky gloves you got on.
Yeah, girl. Well, I stole them from a photo shoot that I did with a designer friend, Guvanch. Thanks for the gloves, Ed, that I accidentally forgot to give back. You know, you just got to incorporate them into fashionable looks. I just also don't have a manicure right now. So I really wanted to cover that.
Genius.
You know, you do it in a way, if you can't beat them, join them.
Yep. Exactly.
You're so freaking fabulous. Also, side note, is that the why did I say want to say photo shoot? Not the photo shoot, but the, it's catwalk. What is it called? Why am I blinking?
Runway
show that you did. Yeah. Why couldn't I think of the word?
I was like, I don't
know. That with them that I saw on your Instagram?
Same designer. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a freaking moment. That was so cool.
Thank you.
How do you go about your fashion? So like, what do you think your sense of fashion is? Because like the gloves is definitely a statement. Like, how do you know what to wear? Like me and Sid would never think about putting gloves with an outfit. So like if someone's listening and they're like, I need help with fashion, like what's your first piece of advice?
Size down your closet. I do what's called a capsule wardrobe and I've done it for the past like 10 years. And I have I've had pretty much the same pieces in my closet for the past 10 or so years. And I'll only incorporate like one or two pieces a season. And I just incorporate slowly like things that I'll wear forever. Like I have a pair of pants that I've literally wore to my high school prom that still fit me and are still gorgeous. And I will wear them until they die, but they never will. And I think what really challenges you about small or like shrinking your style in your closet is that it forces you to pick options. Like you get to play a little bit more and you have to just try things that you would never really try. Like I would never put this with this, but I was like, you know what? We're just going to do it. They're the same tone. Neutrals on neutrals. Let's just give them texture, my love.
I think I needed to hear that too.
I was
right
gonna
now.
Say, did you know, were you reading Sid and I's mind? Because we have both been struggling with closet overloads.
I mean, like I have way too many pieces of clothing. Like I'll see one thing that someone posts once and I'm like, oh my God, I need that. And I'll buy it right on the dot.
And I wear it one time
and I don't even like it. And it doesn't speak to my, as like an addition to my wardrobe. It's a one-off weird piece that I'm like, okay, now what do I do with this? You know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. And I think it comes down to like we are so confronted with everyone else's personal style that we rarely have time to figure out our own. And I really just think it is about shopping consciously and mindfully about things that inspire you, things that make you want to feel, or things that will make you feel good while you're in them. And just like slowly accumulating it based on that feeling versus what everyone else is telling you to feel.
Oh my gosh.
And then that way, I mean, I think conscious consumption, especially in the fashion space, it's one of the most, ecologically destructive industries in terms of this world and greenhouse gases and just where we're all going. And so shopping mindfully is something that we can all do a little bit more. And like, I think that finding your personal style is one of the easiest ways into that.
I love that. That's such a good advice too. I'm like,
what
oh
a
my
good
God.
Way to start this episode.
I know.
I think everyone needed to hear that a little bit, especially like, I don't know if it's just like a Midwest thing, but I feel like a lot of my friends, a lot of people I know are just, it's fast fashion. It's cheap. It's quick. So thanks for sharing.
I will say one of my friends that has the best fashion has pieces from like middle school, high school that are like very specifically chosen, like nice pieces like you. And she was just telling me this weekend and she was like, you need to be buying only one piece at a time in the season, if that, because everything stays as long as you get quality and as long as you feel like it's you. You know what I mean? I've been buying for other people's style.
100%. And my mom also like instilled in me growing up is that like you need to treat your clothes well and kindly. And like fast fashion, first of all, is a lot of what a lot of people only have access to. And that's not a problem, especially if you are able to, like you said, consume a little bit more mindfully. And if you take care of your clothes, like if you hand wash after each use, which is like a little bit of woolite, this is not sponsored or pay placement, but just like washing it a little bit more mindfully and delicately and just like treating your clothes with kindness. It'll help them for a little bit longer.
Side note, by the way, for people listening, because we have like what, 15% now people in MN. Nikita, where are you from? Originally.
Oh my God. I was born in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I
grew up in
St.
White Bear Lake. Shout out.
Oh my God. Jordan, my boyfriend's from White Bear Lake.
Oh my God. Stop.
I swear to God.
St. Paul's elementary school. Is it still there? Or
I think.
St. Pete's. I don't know. Whatever.
Whatever it's called.
Midwest girl. Yeah. I grew up on a farm.
Come visit. Check it out and you can find out. And then you can come to the podcast live.
Well, we should just go to the Mall of America and just do it in there on the rides.
I can't go in the mall because I'll buy everything from Aritzia.
We actually have done an episode in Mall of America. So
In Lululemon Mall of America. Yeah.
But before we go any further about fashion, can you give us a little bit of your story? Who is Nikita? And I mean, you can start wherever you want to start, but let's hear a little more about you.
I mean, the SparkNotes version is I am just a farm girl turned transsexual, turned into New York City, I don't know, stunt queen.
Yes.
I love that, stunt queen. You're like, yes. / model / everything.
I was just a little girl with big dreams. I grew up on a farm I didn't grow up in Minnesota. I grew up actually in a little city at Florida, which was in a very right-wing Republican conservative area. And it wasn't safe. It wasn't happy. And I resorted a lot to fashion. I would steal magazines from wherever I could get them, Publix, Books a Million, Barnes and Noble. And I would read with a flashlight under my covers at night, hiding from my parents, these runway magazines that I found or Vogue or Cosmopolitan or whatever. And that was really kind of what got me through my childhood, where I didn't get to be fully myself, as I got to let my younger self sort of visualize and dream about one day that I would be here. And I never really thought that I would be here one day. I was a makeup artist and didn't really have any incentive to actually try to be a model, but the universe kind of just said, here you go, you're going to do it. And one journey after another, I ended up in New York City, and I'm just living the life and doing the dream and trying to make my younger child feel as full as I can.
Do you have a first memory of, during this childhood of where you were like, I don't feel like myself? Like, do you have an initial memory that you can remember?
I do. I was probably about 4 years old. There was a wedding of some form that we got invited to. And I just remember that I knew that I wanted to be at my wedding. I didn't want to be the man. I wanted to be the girl. And that was the only way that I could put it. I didn't have the verbiage. I didn't have the words. I didn't have the understanding that any of this was possible, but I just knew that I wanted to be the girl at my wedding.
That's kind of beautiful, I feel like. And it's beautiful that you knew that. The hardest part is you grew up mainly in Florida in this area that wasn't accepting of all of this. Like, can you give us like a little bit of like that journey of like from that moment and onward?
Yeah. I mean, I went to a Catholic, or not Catholic. My sister went to the Catholic school that I was not allowed to go to because I was too limp wristy for them. So I went to the Christian school.
Are you kidding? Limp wristy. That's so good. Okay.
No, that's a real story. That's a real story. And so I was not allowed in that school. So I went to the non-denominational Christian school across the street. And I think it was Lutheran or something. So I already, like I said, was very limp-wristy and was kind of I had a bullseye on my back for my entire school career, I guess, elementary, middle, high school. It really forced me to really get a really thick skin. And I think it's one of the only reasons that I've really made it this far is that I really just cannot give a F about what anyone says because of all of those years. So I did all of that, dealt with all of that. And it was after actually I left for college that things started to get bad because that was when I medically transitioned. I started the brunt of my medical transition my freshman year of college. I did one semester and then I went home and like had like a full on like she is a woman darling transition after like 4 months of moans really like popped off. And that's when things started to get a little dangerous. I would go to like the one thing that keeps me sane is going to the gym. I do it every single day. And I have for the past X amount of years. I grew up swimming for like 15 years. So if I'm not moving, I go crazy. And I remember I was at this gym and it was a gym in my old town where some people knew me from like my high school. And there were a couple of guys for like a month that I was there would come up to me and like try to spark up conversation. And then one day a guy came up to me and he said, just so you know, everyone here knows about you and I would leave quietly because someone wants to kill you. And I went to the locker, grabbed my bag, and I literally walked to my car. I turned around and I saw literally a wall of men at the gym just watching me get in my car. And I never went back. I've still to this day, New York. I still to this day have never gone back. That was the tipping point. I've never felt safe there. And I really do hope that any trans person that comes where I come from, I hope that they get out safely because I do not have confidence that it has changed.
Who kept you feeling safe? Because you had to have somebody, right, maybe along this journey. And I don't know who you first came out to, but you can even go into that. But like, who was with you along this journey besides for you and yourself?
I've really been kind of my rock for a lot of it. Being trans and living this life and choosing to live as yourself completely authentically will show you a lot about who is in your life and who really just is there because, you know, they feel like they need to be there. And so you learn a lot about who is actually for you and who isn't. And I've learned that a lot of people weren't meant to be there for the long haul. And that is okay. That was something that I needed to experience. I had my mom, for some of it, she was the first to really get on board. She was also from a very Republican family who still votes Republican. And she was the one person to be like malleable and to realize that she would always tell me that even though this is not one the same, but she was like, I would treat your gender like it was cancer. Like, I want you to be here, because she knew that it was better to have a living daughter than a dead son.
I was just going to say, like, even if you had people to support you, like your mom was there and like you had maybe a few people that stayed in your life, I feel like, I don't know the experience, obviously, but it's still such an isolating thing because no one else feels what you are feeling. You know, it's right. Like, you're like, no, like, this isn't who I am. Like, I'm different than this. And so even though you probably had those people, it was probably scary. So, I mean, props to you for getting to where you are now because.
Oh, thank you.
Like, look at you go. I bet all those guys staring from the gym, like, if they were to see you now, they're probably like, wow. I mean, I hope so. I hope it changes one day.
I do too. And yeah. I believe that one day it will. I just think it really is going to call for not just trans people, not just queer people, but for everyone to stand in who they authentically are and to like have those hard conversations with themselves, invite themselves into their inner wounds, to the inner things that make them feel a little insecure when they get there. And if people could have those harder conversations, I think the world would be in a much different place.
I completely agree. You're a beautiful human being. Oh my God. Inside note. Did you have a question?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who was the first person you came out to and like why?
Oh, who was the first? Well, let me put it this way. I never really got to come out. Everyone came out for me. I was outed over and over and over and over again. Again, remember, limp wrist. Okay. So it was kind of known. But the first person that I came out to was my sister. She's 4 years older than me. And she, you know, I think she was the one who just got it the most and was on board the quickest. So she was the first for me.
Are you still close with your sister, by the way?
Oh, yeah. She lives in Denver, Colorado. Shout out to my sister and her husband, Jason.
Oh, cuties. guys. Wait, I have a question because I was just thinking about this and I have some people in the friends that are trans as well and they've chosen different names. Is Nikita your birth name?
So do you want to hear the fun story about how I got my name?
Yes, yeah. Please.
Oh my God. Okay. So there was a show long time ago. I think it was like 2010, 2008. I was young. And it was called Nikita. And I think it was about like this Russian spy. I don't know. I never watched it. But I...
I love that.
It's so funny because your name fits you so well.
Yes.
But I'm like, continue. Yes.
Yay. I'm so glad. And I saw that name and I was like, wow, I love that name. And my dad, who's an asshole, was like, that's an ugly name. That's a dumb name. So stupid. And so I was like, okay, word, got it. And then like however many years later when I transitioned and I was picking my name, my initial name was going to be Nikita. But my dad was like, no, that is a stupid name. I'm not going to call you that. And so I ended up actually legally choosing my initial name was Nikki, because that was the only thing that he would call me. And I wanted to make it easier for everyone. And by the way, if you're trans and you are listening to this, pick the name that makes you feel the best. It will take much less paperwork down the road. Trust me, having to redo your social security card and your birth certificate and all that stuff two times is not the tea. So just do it the way that you want to do it the first time. However, if you want to change it again, that's okay too. Anyways, so it took a couple of years to get here, but now Nikita was born and we're happy she's here.
Yes, we are.
It's beautiful and it suits you perfectly. And I also absolutely love that you went from, I'm going to people please in a way, like make everybody comfortable with who I am and like whatever, to like, I'm owning exactly who I am and I'm going to be my full authentic self. And I don't care who has a problem with it.
Well, thank you.
Like no matter who it is, no matter if they're family or not, like you are your full self for yourself. And that's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. And funnily enough, Nikita is actually, I'm Greek. It's actually Greek masculine. So I actually love that I have a boy's name. It kind of like, I love the gender ethery of it all. So
wait, that's beautiful. Cool. You know what I was going to say, actually, when I'm thinking about this, can you explain the difference to listeners between gender and sexuality?
I ask this too.
Because it's so important. Yes.
I would love.
Okay, help us.
Let's do gender, sex, and sexuality just to get the whole thing. So the easiest, most vanilla way to put it, I need to put this little asterisk in there that this is not the be-all, end-all. This is just the most simplistic way that I could put it. Sex is, well, gender is between the ears. It's the way that you perceive yourself to be. Sex is between, they say, the legs. It's so much more than just what's between the legs, but it is the... what you are assigned at birth, and your sexuality is who you want to bed.
God, that's good. And it's simple and it's easy to think about and it's easy to hold on to. Like that like summed it all up and I can understand that and hold on to it.
That was great. That's the best and clearest I've ever heard that before.
I'm feeling awake now.
Like, I know it. So, okay. So obviously we're candid. We're going to ask some like crazy questions that what people want to know. And I was listening to your Hi, Hello, How Are You podcast. And you were talking about your bottom surgery anniversary. And so I guess I want to know a little bit more about how that works in general. And I guess how long ago that was. And if you feel, just like a little more details about that. Because I know that's a question that more than I just have.
Yeah. Well, I know that everyone is super curious about, not a lot of people will talk about bottom surgery. It's something that it's very close to me in my heart and I have no problem sharing any of this. So this just for the audience to hear, this is a totally free question for them to ask me. So bottom surgery. Wow. It was so many years ago. Like, what do you mean? What questions? Like what more? Give me a little bit more.
Well, first of all, knowing that you're ready, like, the differences down, like I was about to say bottom, but it's not bottom, but you know what I mean? And just like how you went about doing it, like how do you save up for that, et cetera?
Oh my God. Well, I started the process, probably 12 years ago. This was back before insurance covered anything. This was back when it was like a 2-year wait list just to get seen by the doctor. And I ended up finding a fantastic doctor. I'm just going to shout her out, Dr. Christine McGinn. She's a trans woman herself. She is a retired flight surgeon. She's an icon, by the way. And she is who sort of allowed me to do most of my medical transition. And the way that the surgery that I had works, there are multiple surgeries. Some people consider it like they just flip it inside out. That really isn't how it works. There are versions of, you know, things that there are versions of the surgery in the past that have done that, but they have also updated slowly but surely.
Good to know.
And so the way that this surgery works was, mind you, everyone in the womb is the same. Everyone has the same potentiality. Everyone has the same bits and pieces. And it's the testosterone bath or a certain bath of chemicals or hormones that makes your body alter in a different way. And so basically the goal of that surgery is to take the product of that alteration, reverse it back to neutral, and then origami build it back into the original, more female considered way.
Okay.
So you are taking your original part and basically neutralizing it and then forming it into what would be a vagina, the whole thing.
Yes. And the only thing, well, I guess I would say the only tissues that are not used are a part of the glands, like a piece of the glands at the top, and the two testes.
Oh.
Those are the only things that aren't used. Do you want like a specific breakdown? I'll give it to you.
We're totally curious. Because
I think I figured it out. I'm assuming the head of the penis is now the clitoris.
In some way. So the scrotal skin is... First, you're supposed to get everything lasered and have no hair on there. The scrotal skin becomes, the way that I had it, internal, the internal part of the vagina. It is lined with part of your urethra, which allows you to get to self-lubricate and to do all of those things. Glands becomes the clitoris, and then the penile shaft is laid down, and that becomes the labia minora and majora.
That is amazing.
No, it's actually like amazing how they can do that.
I bet it's beautiful. I'm just thinking.
I know. I was going to say it's probably perfect. Woo.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but it should be in the Met. It should be in a museum. It is the most beautiful thing. Men upon men upon men just compliment me. It is the most beautiful thing. And that is when I know that we're going to go into this like sort of dating thing. These men do not know. Okay. I just need to tell you that these men do not know the things that they are whispering in our ears when they are doing the things that they are doing. They are into it. They love it. They can't get enough of it. Let's be clear about that. Thank you so much.
Oh my God. I love you. I literally love you. She is the best. She is an icon. Every time I hear it, I think about you. I hear she is an icon. You know that thing?
She's an icon living legend.
Yeah, legend or whatever.
What
that video.
What song is that?
Oh, she's an icon, legend, and star.
Yes, yes. I'm like, I literally hear it in my ear every time. Thank you for opening up about that.
Yeah,
that's really
sharing
it's
that.
Detailed, and it's something that not everybody, but like people wonder, they're like, how does that even work? Like, how could I even go about getting that for myself? Like, I don't get it.
I mean, yeah, it's a science. It's a part of the scientific world that still is so untapped. Like, there's so many doctors who I can go into, like, I don't know, just go get a physical, and they literally have no idea how to treat me. They're just like, they have no, so many medical professionals have no knowledge of transness because it isn't taught in the medical schools. And so you really have to find, for instance, like there's a hospital here that has like just a trans unit, and you have to be lucky enough to live in one of those areas to have access to someone who understands you and your body. And there's still so many gaps and leaps and blind spots in the medical transition aspect of it all that just so we have so much progress to make. And like one of my friends just got a surgery with the robotic arms through her belly button. Like there really are so many advancements that are happening now in terms of trans surgeries to the moon and beyond, really.
The way that we're advancing in medical is the way that our minds need to be advancing at the same rate. Like we need to be going faster, if not, you know what I mean? Like we just got to keep moving. And I had written this down because I was talking to one of my friends who lives in New York, by the way. She was like, oh my God, I want to meet Nikita. But she was like, a question you need to ask is how can we better support the trans community? Like I know that you are tied within the LGBTQIA+, however far out you want to go, it's all encompassing, but it also... you're also just trans too. Like how can we be better to trans people and just support everybody?
That is such a fabulous question. Thank you for asking that. I'm going to answer this a couple of ways and I don't really know those ways yet. We'll get to them when we figure it out. Okay. So the first and foremost is ask questions like that. That's the first thing that I would say. Second, I would say is as a cis woman, something that is like the purpose of allyship is to take whatever the minority community is saying and amplify those voices, make whatever they're saying that much louder. And what the trans community is asking people to say, I think from my perspective, is we're asking the our cis straight or our cis female allies to have those harder conversations with the men that they're in proximity to. Talk to your man friends about transness. Talk to your husbands about transness. Talk to your fathers, your brothers, the men in your life about trans people. Get those wheels moving. I am so sorry to say that it is those conversations you're going to find that a lot of the men in your lives probably are not up to the speed that you would want them to be. And that's always a hard pill to swallow. And I am apologizing in advance for that. But having those hard conversations is something that is going to, in the end, protect trans women of color who are getting slaughtered still to this day, not killed, slaughtered. And, if you listen to the podcast, so there's desirability politics in all of this. What I mean by desirability politics is there are things that cishet men are going to have to let go to be able to be with a trans woman. And so many of them aren't able or willing to let that thing go. One of those being their ego and the way that they perceive themselves. And so if we could have our cis allies having those hard conversations right along with us, oh my God, leaps and bounds we could go. I just know.
That's perfect. That's exactly what we can do as cis women. Like, we totally can do that.
We can definitely do that. And it's starting step one right here. I'm sending this podcast to all the men I know and saying, Listen the fuck up.
Hi, Julia. How are you?
If you guys,
hey boys.
If you are sitting here and you're like, I pride myself on being open. I pride myself on being accepting. I pride myself on evolving with the times.
Then make moves
and make sure the people that you're surrounding yourself with are doing the exact same things, because you'd be surprised who's a closeted, like, you know, hater on certain things. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about this, just this.
Oh, trust.
Seriously.
Trust.
I just love all your sayings too. I'm like, oh my
trust,
God.
Trust.
I know, literally.
Do you have any more specific trans questions? Because I was going to get to like a little bit more about your makeup, the modeling, all the goods. But I feel like there's probably some more floating around. I know we have some notes down. So
hold on. I'm quick reading. Give me 30
seconds.
She's going.
No, that's okay. Take all the time you need. Everyone just imagine the Jeopardy music in your ears. Done.
Yes.
Oh my God. That's going to slow me down.
I honestly had full blown goosebumps when you were just sharing that. Talk to your mans, talk to the boyfriends, talk to the husbands, talk to your dads, because I'm literally thinking of like four people in my mind that I need to have a conversation with probably. So,
well, we all appreciate you having those conversations. It means a lot.
Of course. I had one question, but it actually goes into dating.
Oh, yeah.
So do you want to identify as a trans woman forever? Or do you want to just identify as a woman? Like, what does that mean for identity purposes for you? And that, I know we had like briefly talked about dating apps and things like that, so it kind of goes into that. So feel free to answer however you would like.
That is a coin toss of an answer, because it could really go both ways. I could, on one hand, do I believe that I myself and everyone around me and everyone in this world is more than their gender? Yes. Do I believe that the world is understanding that we are all more than our gender? No. And so as much as I would love to be able to just say, I am just a woman, hear me roar, I am just trying to live and exist in my own little bubble, like, please leave me alone, don't ask about my gender, doesn't matter, that world isn't, in my POV right now, a feasible, safe world for me to be in. And additionally, I would also say that as much as, you know, the further I get from, I guess, whatever point it was that people saw me more as a woman than they did a trans woman, out in public, out in life, in my daily world, I don't know what that point was, but like the further I get from that point, I still feel like if I looked back on that history and just acted like it wasn't there, I completely forego all of the beautiful and also scary, but also beautiful life experiences that have led me to this point. And I I mean this in the kindest way possible. Like, I would never want to be a cis person, not in like a mean way, but in like a, my gender may not be who everything that I am, but the experiences that have created my gender are everything that I am. And I wouldn't be the same person if I didn't have that lived experience. And so to just say that, yes, I am a woman. I will always be a woman, but I am also a trans woman. So I think I'm the best of both worlds.
You really are.
And I don't need to pick or choose. And I don't want to pick or choose because I want to respect myself in the way I feel now, but also the person that got me to this moment.
Good Lord, Nikita. You're so good with your words.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I get why you have a podcast. That is amazing. That was the best answer.
You guys need to go listen to Hi, Hello, How Are You?
There's only 2 episodes. Don't get too excited.
Okay, well, but still, they're two really good
ones. We're waiting for a third, so.
We're impatiently waiting. Thank you for answering that.
No problem. Thank you for asking.
I think I could have guessed the answer just knowing who you are as a human being, but I think there's a lot of people that needed to hear that with their preconceived notions and other things. So thank you for answering that.
No problem.
You had a dating/makeup/all the things question for our sweet little Nikita.
I love dating/makeup/all the things.
Should we do dating first and then makeup?
Yeah.
Okay. I just have really one question about makeup. So we'll ask it because Sid and I aren't the only ones who need a little bit more makeup advice. So first of all, how did you get into makeup? I want to hear that story and maybe your first trip to Ulta. Like, if we were to just go through like a minute of like how to put makeup on, like what you start with.
Just 1 minute.
Yeah.
I can do that.
That's just like
easy.
Quick go at it. So.
So the way I got into makeup was, started with my mother. My mother wore the same 5 things her entire life and never saw this woman look a different way. Literally every single day, same hair, same face. She was an icon, legend, and star, trust and believe. But she was a woman who was consistent. So I didn't have a lot to work with, but I did have a little mascara. I had a little smoky, shimmery, like brown eyeshadow. And I had a little bit of face powder. And I would go into my mom's bathroom when she would go grocery shopping, probably like 12, 13. I would put on mascara. I would put on a little eyeshadow and I just look at myself and I'd be like, that's a fish. That's cunty right there, whatever that is. And that is kind of like what started the liberation of myself through makeup. And what really kind of changed everything for me was when I was 16, I had a car and I had a job. And I had the ability to go to Ulta. And I would just kind of like go through and pick whatever was pretty. I really had no idea what any of this was. I have no professional, I didn't go to school for makeup or anything. I just locked myself in my bathroom for years. I would complain that I had a stomach ache. I didn't. I just wanted to get away from my family. And I would lock myself in the bathroom and I would do all of my makeup and I would look gorgeous and stunning and then I would wipe it off. And I would go about my day. And that slowly was like kind of what took over. I started doing that. I would go to high school. I would put makeup on when I got there. I would dress. I would put on different clothes. I would walk into school. And then before I went home, I would wash my face and change back into what I was doing. And I just really slowly but surely and in private and in secret started my makeup journey. Slowly but surely got really, really good. My mom always wanted me to go to art school. But I didn't. Painting wasn't my medium. I loved makeup too much. And it was in college, actually, when I was like, I need to medically transition. College is too much. I need to take time off. And my parents said, you can have 1 year. You have to get a job. And if you make it in 1 year, you don't have to go back to college. And I said, perfect, done. So I got a job at the beauty counter and I worked my way up. I worked in the beauty industry for about, 7, 8 years. Beauty counter, did all the main stores and just like had a time and ended up getting a makeup job that moved me up to New York City. And I was a little, doing a little makeup moment. I don't want to do my own horn, but I was iconic.
You can do it.
And then one day, to answer the next question, I know that you said something about modeling. Makeup was actually how I got into modeling. I was a makeup artist on a set for a shoot that I didn't want to go on. It was unpaid. I didn't want to go. And my mom was the voice of reason. She was like, you never know who you're going to meet. Just go, show up, just do the job and have a moment. And I did. And I was cleaning my brushes while they were, you know, shooting the girls, and I got a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and this guy is like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, I'm cleaning my brushes. What do you mean? What the fuck am I doing? And he goes, no. Why are you a makeup artist? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And then he signed me the next week. And that's when I started modeling. And I didn't really have the foresight that anything was going to happen. I didn't want to be a model. This is a perfect example to trust the universe that whatever your deepest, truest desires, the universe will bring them to you and you will not be able to outrun them. And that was kind of the whole makeup beauty story, how I got to where I am. I will say it is the one thing that saved me. I have a deep respect for makeup and beauty because it is the only reason that I am still here on this planet. And with that reverence, I continue on in the beauty space on TikTok.
Woo! God, you're like so impressive.
Yeah. What's your TikTok? It's a pretty big following on TikTok, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh my God. I 300 something. I don't know.
300 something.
300. There's a K behind there, by the way.
There's people. By the way, if you follow me, I love you. Thank you for following me along.
Wait, give it your 1 minute of makeup spiel, will you please?
Help us.
Oh, please. My God. Okay. Fingers are your best friends. Okay. So apply moisturizer, skip primer. You don't need it. It's really a waste of money. Applying makeup straight onto your moisturizer is going to be one of the best ways to make it look melted. Foundation with fingers, concealer with your little ring finger underneath the eyes, a little underneath the lips, center of the face, down the chin. Oh my God, you're gorgeous. And then you're going to take a little blush. You can put it on literally the palm right here. And just stamp it, blend it, mascara, maybe a little brow if you want it, chapstick with a little color, bing, bang, boom, done. Face.
Wow. I've always used so much primer.
Yeah, I've been like loading it up.
You don't need it. I mean, primer is, listen, okay, as an ex-beauty professional, we need to have this little disclaimer about makeup in the beauty world. They want to sell you stuff. As much as there are beautiful products in the world, there's so many products that you don't need. And a lot of the primers that are on the market are just a substitute for the skincare routine that should be prefacing them anyways. So if you have a great skincare routine that is simple, but definitely hits all your bases, we're talking regular cleanser. We're talking a hydrating serum of some form. Doesn't need to be expensive. Hyaluronic acid is cheap AF. Okay. And then a nice emollient moisturizer and sunscreen. Layer your makeup on top of that and you should be good.
So what the hell, you guys? I feel like I've been lied to.
Yeah, we're just getting over. We have so many things coming into our head that it's just overcomplicating.
You should
see
my makeup drawer. And I don't even do makeup. What?
Yeah. There you go. They did their job. They sold you a fantasy and you bought that fantasy. And now that fantasy lives in your drawer. Now, if we buy makeup that actually works, don't worry. I'll give you all the tips and tricks.
Okay, deal.
You just let me know. You just text me next time you buy something.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, for now.
Why do you use your hands versus like a beauty blender?
First of all, the heat of your fingers is going to help melt that product into your skin a little bit more. Your hands are the cheapest tool. And most of the makeup that you need to apply can be applied with your hands. And the sponges are great. However, most people don't know how to clean them appropriately. Sometimes they're not using them wet, which, you know, there's a time and place for everything, but, so sponges are great, but you don't need them.
Okay.
That's good to know.
Wow. I learned a little bit there.
Yeah, okay. I know. I did too. I'm like, oh my God.
I was like leaning into the computer.
I know. I feel like I could talk to you for years, but I'm like, I want to get to dating before we roll out. Yeah. Because we had talked on, what day was that? I don't know, like a few weeks ago, and we were talking about your dating scene, like your life right now, like what you're doing, what are you doing? Yeah. Are you single or dating?
I am very single. I'm happily single. I'm choicefully single. I am focusing on me a little and it feels good to be back.
I love that.
Back, baby.
You're back, honey. Are you on any apps right now?
I'm on Raya. I deleted Hinge last night. So only Raya. I just couldn't do it. I mean, even no offense to Raya, but like people don't really talk on there anyway. So it's really zero technically apps.
Which is kind of okay if you're focusing on you. Thank you. And you're not.
I'm happy to be here.
Some people are just, you know, they're rushing into wanting something and they're pushing for something and they're using all the apps and it's consistent. And although getting yourself out there and out of your bubble, absolutely. But if you're not feeling it, don't push it, right? Like take a break and reset.
I mean, I've been there, done that. I've been that person who really, love was really important to me for the longest time. And I'm just at a place in my life where it is not a priority. It's nothing in my life is willing. I'm not willing to sacrifice anything in my life to accommodate something that doesn't fit easily and seamlessly into my life. And I am finally at a point where, like, I am not desperate to be loved. And that feels so good because I'm just loving myself so much and having the best time with that. And there's just no time for anyone else right now.
I love, and that energy that you're putting out because you're feeling confident with who you are and secure with who you are and excited about yourself. Like, I feel like that's like attractive energy anyways. And who knows?
What totally. Will come. I mean, so, many have tried and I just kind of like, ugh, get off of me. Like,
yeah. not into it. You're going to disrupt my nighttime workout and dinner routine.
And my excessive 12-step skincare routine. Absolutely not. Yeah.
No, also, but side note, you're gonna have to send that to me too as well. No, there's one TikTok I wanted to talk to you about dating, because this is what all encompassed, like, when we're getting ready to have you on, and I was creeping on your TikTok, obviously, because I do that often with you.
Sorry. Don't worry about it.
I'm admitting to it. And you had responded to a comment from a woman, and she had written on your TikTok, like, when you are on the dating apps, do you feel like you would, she is like, wasting your time if you're not disclosing that you're a trans woman. And I personally did not like how she asked that question, but you were really respectful to it and answered that question. Do you mind reiterating what you said on your TikTok?
Yeah. Well, this goes back to, there's this subgroup of women who, subgroup of cis women who think that it is a trans woman's job. Well, I wouldn't even just say it's cis women. It's really a lot of people who think that it's a trans woman's job to disclose to a man who is interested in her that she is trans, for basically so you can spare his ego, honestly. And what I found first and foremost is that when you are on these apps, I've disclosed and I've not disclosed. And first of all, disclosure, that whole conversation is wrapped up. It's a big fancy bow around the word safety. And that is a factor that a lot of people don't realize. Safety comes into this process of disclosure. But on apps, if you disclose, I found that if you put in your bio that you're a trans person, I'll wake up with like 200 of those little likes on Hinge from guys who literally just want someone who they think has something between their legs that they're interested in. And if I don't disclose, I'll wake up with like a normal amount of people who are just like interested in me as a person. And so I am not willing to put myself in, I don't know, a fetish and someone in direct line of someone to fetishize me. So I will not disclose. It's on my TikTok. It's on my Instagram. Like, I have nothing to hide. And even if I wanted to hide, the internet is so easily accessible, it wouldn't even let me. So that's one part of it. But basically what I said to this woman about disclosure is that it all comes down to safety, and we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't. But it is my personal choice that it is so much easier to sniff out the dangerous ones. And to reiterate, the dangerous ones are the ones who like truly will hunt you down. That has happened. It's happened to so many of myself and my friends. It is just a part of the trans experience. These men who are, I hope it's not a part of everyone's trans experience, but it's a part of a lot of people's trans experience, where people feel that they were trapped. They are tricked. Like, I am considered what would be a trap. Someone who fools someone to get them into bed, which is not the intention. The intention is to wait long enough to feel safe enough with someone to be able to invite them into the most vulnerable part about yourself. Like, I wish that disclosure wasn't about coming out. And I think coming out in itself is kind of going out. Anyways, I think we're going into a space more where we're in a space of inviting people into who we are, into the most, as I said, vulnerable parts of ourselves. And I also said that if I'm able to find out if someone is one of the dangerous ones, I just will not disclose, because it's safer for me in the long run to kind of hide in plain sight.
Thank you for reiterating that. I feel like that's really important for a lot of people to hear. And that is also really hard to hear. Even just sitting here and I'm like, it's hard for me to understand the anger and hate people have for things that they don't understand or care to understand more. makes me mad, kind of. You know,
it
what
also
mean?
Made it also make makes me mad think too. That these this female that commented this thing and these females that are, you know, saying you should disclose, I guarantee that you are way prettier than them. They're probably jealous.
She flicks her hair. She's flicking her hair back and just having a moment.
She like I honestly I think there's a little bit of insecurities in them, which is why they feel the need to comment things like that for sure.
That's always how the haters go.
Listen, I will neither confirm nor deny, but I will just toss my hair and nod and look off into
Nikita. You're my fucking queen.
And then you know, have a little moment.
I literally love you. I can't get over you. I have a
mom in a basement. I can't.
Okay. I can't.
We should probably get into, just because we got to wrap up pretty soon. We have a listener straight candid advice question written in, and we're gonna get your take on it as well.
Ooh,
this
wow.
one is I got this actually, or we got this to our email like 2 days ago, and I just was like, you know what? It's speaking to me right now, and this person wants our advice, so I'm gonna read it right now. Because usually they come at random, and we're like, okay. I'm a 27-year-old Hispanic female with Mexican parents. I moved out at the age of 20 because I couldn't deal with my mom trying to control me, giving me curfews, her rules, my roof, my rules. I moved out at 20. I've been moved out ever since. I'm 100% financially independent because I don't want my mom to throw it in my face. My brother is 30-year-old man, is completely tatted up, brings a different girl home every single week, parties it up. My mom gives him a slap on the hand, if that. Me, on the other hand, I got my nose pierced. My mom pretty much shunned me for a month. I recently started dating this guy who I can see myself having a future with. Everyone checks out with him regarding it being healthy, it's natural, and it can turn into something great. I let my mom know I started dating someone and she flipped her shit. She started saying he only wants to sleep with me. I should know better. She's disgusted with me because I'm letting a man try to sleep with me. She's 27, mind you. Long story short, we got into it for real right now and pretty much banned me from her house completely. The thing is that in a Mexican household, this is extremely common. The son gets away with everything and can live at the home in peace. But I went out with my friends while living at home. My mom would kick me out for days or lecture me and belittle me. It's the point where I almost want to cut her off completely and makes me feel guilty for even just living my life. And I'm putting my foot down because I'm not letting her control me anymore. It's toxic, but I need your opinion on what to do because it makes me sad. 27 years old.
She's 27?
27 years old. She's an adult. I mean, adult as of... How many years is that? 9? No, she said she used to get kicked out of the house when she would go out.
And now she's not allowed to go to the house anymore at all.
She's about to cut the relationship off with her mom completely because of all this. What would you say to this person?
I definitely think there's probably a bit of like, I know sometimes like moms have this weird thing with their daughters in terms of like, I don't know. I'm immediately thinking of like a little bit of jealousy, like competition type of thing. I don't know. That's kind of immediately what I thought of. Like, I definitely think there's some like therapy that's needed for both of them. I'm not sure about like the culture situation with her saying that her brother gets away with all this, but I would be honest and communicate with her, but I wouldn't necessarily cut her off. Yeah, go for
can
it.
Can I hop in here? Yeah, Nikita, can you hear me all right, by the way?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Perfect. Because speaking from the cultural thing, I'm half Japanese. Very common for like women to like, oh, dinner's done, do the dishes. Like constantly when I'm at my grandparents' house, it's like, okay, like pick out all the girls and like my girl cousins, you guys are doing dishes. I don't know how close she is with her brother, but one thing that I'm very adamant about is I tell my grandpa all the dudes are doing it too. Like this isn't just a woman's job anymore. Like it's 2022. What year are we? Oh my God.
Like, what year is it?
It's 2022. Like it's our job to, as a group, instill that. So I don't know how close she is with her brother, but like that's something I've talked about with my sisters is like, I'm putting my foot down with you guys. And that extra support, I think, helps open their eyes just a little bit. Like sometimes my grandpa will like say something like, you know, whatever, but slowly we can kind of see his wall chipping down. So that's like the only cultural advice I can really give because I've experienced it.
I like that. Nikita, what do you think?
Well, so I went no contact with my dad like 4 years ago. And so I'm speaking from that place. And what I learned in those 4 years is that I'm not saying that you need to cut someone out completely. I'm just saying that there is sometimes something that is there to be discovered in that space that you take that time that you take between you and whoever you need to take time with. Don't feel afraid to be empowered to make the decision that you need a little time. And that time doesn't need to be forever. You can take a little bit of space, do a little self-discovery, find out what boundaries you're willing to sacrifice on when it comes to that figure in your life. And just know that it is okay to do what you need to do to make sure that you are okay. And sometimes making sure that you are okay requires hurting people who have in the past hurt you. And as Hello Teffy, who has been on your podcast, has said, hurt people, my love. And that is just something that they'll have to deal with.
I love that. I feel like everyone's reiterated exactly what I'd say. I mean, it depends on where you're at, right? Like, if you want to cut them out, that's your choice, right? Yeah. If you want to loop in your brother and be like, listen, I respect you. You're a little cuckoo cachoo, it sounds like. But you know what? Like, I need your help right now. Like, mom is, you know, ringing on me and I can't do it anymore like this. So, yeah. By the way, side note, literally my word of the day. Nikita was recommended by Teffy, like she said. And like, we literally were obsessed with you ever since she said your name. Like, we were like, we have to have her on. We're going to figure out a way. We're going to make it happen. And we did, because we trust the heck out of Teffy. So if you haven't listened to that episode too, shout out Teffy. We love you and we miss you too. So.
Oh, we love you and miss you, Teffy. I also heard that you're going to have Dana on the podcast next.
You knew that? Did you know
she
that?
She literally DM'd me last night and she was like, oh my God, we're going to be on this podcast together. And I was like, yes.
Oh my God. Yes. Woo! And we're so excited about having her on too. Also a Teffy recommendation. We just trust the hell out of Teffy. She knows the real ones out there. She knows the real queens. So
she gets it. The girls that get it, get it. Let me tell you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you beyond. Like, I already want to have another episode because I have like the most fulfilled feeling I've probably had in a long time from an episode.
Same. I feel like I learned a lot and I agree. I feel very heartwarmed. Yeah. And I just want everyone I know to listen to this for sure.
It's a big deal. Like, and for you to share all that, like, seriously, yeah, thank you beyond words. Is there anything else that you want to say to anyone out there that's listening right now, or someone that maybe knows who they are inside and isn't expressing it on the outside?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you to you. Thank you for offering your platform and creating space for these conversations to be had. That in itself is empowering, reassuring, and very much appreciated.
Absolutely.
So thank you for your allyship. To anyone who is living as a version of themselves that they don't feel best aligns with their authentic truth, I would just say that that truth can be scary, and not everyone is able to confront those versions of themselves. But if you are having those conversations with yourself, you are strong enough to be able to confront those versions, those thoughts and those feelings that you have with yourself, and to just allow yourself grace, time, enjoy the process. Don't rush anything. Don't model your transition, your coming into yourself, after anyone else. Just truly feel what is best and most authentic to you. And just know that you are loved, you are adored. And we are all fighting for a world where you are going to be safer.
Oh, I'm like emotional. Wow. Yeah. I can't stop like getting teary eyed. I don't know what's going on with me. I feel things so deep today. I'm
making our emotions just go wild.
No, it is. It's like, holy crap. The fact that not everyone is safe on this earth.
Yeah.
Makes me, oh my God. It just makes me sick that people are not everyone is safe right now in who they are. Oh God. Ugh, I'm going to get emotional.
Awful. Yeah.
We love you. Give us all your handles. Give us all the things, please, so that everyone can find you.
Oh, my God. My handles are Neo It Girl, NEOITGIRL. Yes, that is a trans joke. Get into it. On all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, Neo It Girl. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
We love you.
You can follow us as well at Straight Candid Podcast on Instagram, and I'm at Candid Soph.
At Candid Sid.
And at Ben Sarbacher.
We love you all. Yay. Nikita, we love you. Thank you for being here.
I love you too.
Bye, you guys.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Ayo.
That was so good. Holy shit.
Oh, my God. Yay. I was worried that I was fumbling.
Nikita. I was getting nervous. I couldn't even talk half the time.
You should feel my armpits. I was so moved.
I am sweating profusely.
Oh, my God. I wish you could.